working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, sorry. Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5, and it's slushy and wet out there. Currently in Elk City, it's 28. Wind chills at 20, minus 20. Winds out of the north at 10 miles an hour. Let's check around in our whole listening area and see what temperatures are like. Looks like there's a big cold pocket. Well, basically where it snowed. Everywhere where it snowed, it's chilly. Arnett's already up to 40. Tipton and Altus, 25. Mangum, 27. Hollis, 27. Hobart, 26. Weatherford, 28. And Camargo's, 36. So they're just a cold pocket hanging over there. And I can't get that to come up on the Texas side there. But anyway, it's probably about the same out there in the Wheeler-Shamrock area we got going. Well, before I get started with anything at all, I'm going to give you the Jimmy tip of the week that I learned this morning at the round table at Southbound. One of the gentlemen in there, the older gentleman, well, I'm kind of the young guy at that table anyway. So anyway, this is your tip of the week. You can't drink all day unless you start early in the morning. That makes sense? You'll get it if you're a beer drinker. But anyway, that's what he told me this morning. He said, man, you can't say you drink all day unless you start early in the morning. So anyway, that's your Jimmy tip of the week. And all right, let's get back to this. Well, wheat's down again, but the rest of them are holding steady or slightly up. But hard red winter wheat is $7.67 a bushel. Corn's at $6.26. Milo's at $6.24. Soybeans at $13.78. And cotton's at $1.22 a pound. Soybean futures rose in overnight trading as rival palm oil prices hit a record. Malaysian palm oil prices hit a record high before backing off into the close after Indonesia, the world's largest producer and shipper, said producers must sell a fifth of what they plan to ship overseas into the domestic market. The goal of the domestic market obligation policy is to ensure ample domestic supply, according to government officials. Well, palm oil competes directly with soybean oil as a cooking oil on the international market. Investors also are keeping an eye on the weather in South America, where dry weather has been persistent in growing areas of Brazil and Argentina. Recent rains have slightly eased concerns, and more precipitation is on the way. Rainfall is in the forecast in several states, including Prena and Rio Grande, and said Donald Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist with Maxar. Precipitation also is expected in the growing areas of Argentina. Additional rains across northern areas over the next few days should further improve moisture. Soybean futures for March delivery rose 7.75 cents to $14.47 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $1 to $401.50 a short ton. And soybean oil futures jumped 0.83 cents to 64.76 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery fell 0.75 cents to $6.26 a bushel. Wheat for March delivery lost 2 cents to $7.93 a bushel, while Kansas City futures dropped 2.25 cents to $8.13.5 a bushel. Ethanol output dropped in the 7 days it ended on January 21st, while stockpiles increased to the highest in 20 months, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Production of the biofuel fell to an average of 1.035 million barrels a day. That's down from 1.053 million last week. in the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region. Output declined to an average of 979,000 barrels, and that's down from 994,000 barrels the previous week. East Coast output fell to 10,000 barrels a day on average from 11,000 barrels a week earlier. Gulf Coast production dropped to an average of 21,000, and previous week was 25,000 barrels. West Coast production was unchanged at 9,000 barrels a day. Rocky Mountain producers increased output last week to an average of 15,000 barrels, and that's up from 14,000 barrels the previous week. And ethanol stockpiles look like they're up. They have been week to week. Inventories of January 21st stood at 24.476 million barrels. That's up about quite a bit, up from 23.592 million a week earlier, making it the highest level since May 1st of 2020. Well, winter weather continues in Northern Plains. A winter weather advisory is in effect for eastern North Dakota and western Minnesota this morning as snow and wind continues throughout the morning, according to the National Weather Service. Near blizzard conditions expected at times, especially in the open country with fallen snow. Winds are forecast as strong as 40 miles an hour. Blowing snow will reduce visibility throughout the day into tomorrow morning. In northern Iowa, meanwhile, wind chills are expected to drop as low as 30 degrees below zero. Values that could cause frostbite in less than 30 minutes. Man, me and his people at the National Weather Service, we're going to have a little thing about one time it's 10 minutes on the frostbite, one time it's 5 minutes on the frostbite, and at minus 30 below, now they're calling it for 30 minutes. So I guess you got to get to minus 45 before you get into that 5 to 10 minute frostbite category, but that snow was wonderful yesterday. I don't know about you guys where you got. Matter of fact, text line is open, 580-225-9697, the KECO Ag text line. Text in where you from and how much you got. I know we got probably a couple answers here around Elk City, but down there at my place, west of Willow, down in the breaks, I'm guessing 4 inches, might be 3.5. I didn't have a tape measure with me, but when I finally found the cows there yesterday afternoon, and it was like 3:30 in the afternoon, I mean, it had been snowing. Those roads were snow-packed, and they looked like the Black Angus, and they looked like the abominable snow monsters when they come running up there. They all you could see was their eyes. It was a wet snow. It was good. It's awesome. We'll take the moisture. That moisture is not going to help a whole lot, but it's better than a kick in the rear end there. So we'll take it however we can get. I think they figure, 1/10 of an inch per inch. So, yeah, we got 4/10 down there at Willow. So text in what you got, and I'll read it off. But when we come back, we're going to talk what we always talk, cattle, wheat. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Ukraine-Russian deal. I got some numbers up on Ukraine, actually what they produce, because Ukraine, over 70% of their land is used in agriculture. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that. Anything else you guys want to text in? I got a little disturbance in the force this morning from one of the guys at Southbound. He was talking about the bull thing, the five things in preparing to buy a bull yesterday that I read on the show, and I had one response during the show, what he looks for in his bull, and that's what I told him. I said, man, that's what I'm looking for. I said, I'm reading you guys something. It doesn't matter whether I agree or disagree with it, but if you don't agree with it, or if you do agree with it and you want to add to it, I'm your man. Text it in to me, and I'll add it to the story or why you didn't agree with it. That's what we want. We want to talk this thing over, and everybody out there listening likes to hear different opinions, because there is a lot of different opinions. So we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
My background is in AI service. if you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. Eddie texts in from the highway department. He says, we got enough to snowplow. So anyway, that was pretty good. Let's see, we got about 2 inches in Sayre, and we got 3.5 at Granite, and 4.5 at Cloud Chief. Just came in on the text line. You guys, you got 4.5 tents down there, didn't you? 4,500s. So anyway, they got... I hadn't heard it from anybody at Hobart, but anyway, text in your measurements and I'll tell everybody what you guys got. Well, on the Ukraine deal, here we go. So the tensions between Ukraine and Russia continue to mount. Russia has placed 100,000 troops plus more as of yesterday on Ukraine's borders, and the Pentagon ordered 8,500 troops to be on high alert Monday to potentially deploy to Europe as part of a NATO response amid growing concern that Russia could make a military move on Ukraine. Ukraine is a key player in the global agriculture, and here's some of this, how these conflicts will play out if something happens. This is how it'll play out. It'll have international impacts. Ukraine has more than 41.5 million header acres, however you want to say that, or 102.5 million acres. There we go. Get it English for me, would you? Of agriculture, and it covers the agriculture land covers 70% of the country. In 2020, Ukraine's agriculture sector. Hang on, one second. Excuse me. My allergies are kicking me today, and I even took my medicine. Ukraine's agriculture sector generated approximately 9.3% of GDP. Crop farming, which accounts for 73% of the agriculture output, dominates Ukrainian agriculture, according to the International Trade Administration. Global production. Here's how Ukraine is ranked. They are first in sunflower seed. They are sixth in corn. They're sixth in barley. They're seven in rapeseed. They're ninth in wheat and ninth in soybeans. The country's main crops are sunflowers, corn, soybean, wheat, and barley. And they are, with that, their seed production on sunflowers, like 17, sunflower seed is 17.5 million tons, metric tons. That's a lot of sunflower seeds. And then on their corn production, they're 42 million metric tons. So that's pretty good. Ukraine has been a global supplier of wheat, corn, and soy meal, but sun oil, and sunflowers since a long time ago. He says a senior researcher that follows the markets, trade, and institutions division of the International Food Policy Research Institute. And this is Joseph Glober. This year, Ukraine is forecast to account for 12% of global wheat exports, 16% for corn, 18% for barley, 19% for rapeseed. The share of agriculture in export values for Ukraine increased from 26% in 2012 to 45% in 2020, amounting to $22.2 billion. They're big. It's a big agriculture. Their sunflower seed oil is shipped most year round through. There is a little seasonal downturn in late summer as stocks of oil seeds are depleted awaiting for the new harvest. He said that in the mid-2000s, after implementation of export tariffs for unprocessed sunflower seed, Ukraine developed a leading sunflower oil industry and became the number one exporter of sunflower oil in the world. So any disruptions in the trade will likely be more felt for their corn and their sunflower seed oil than wheat. Obviously, there would be major concern if spring plantings were disrupted. And there you go. That's what's happening with the Ukrainian. Let's see what we got here. 4 to 5 inches in Hobart. I got somebody text me in. They had 4 to 5 inches in Hobart. Another text from Hobart, 3.5. So it depends. I guess there's an inch difference there. It doesn't matter. She's got some 2+ northwest of Cheyenne. 3 to 3.5 in Hobart. So Daryl, you're living on the good side of Hobart. So you got more over there. So you live in, whoever that is that texts me the 3 to 3.5, you just live on the wrong side of town on that one. Sorry. But anyway, Woodward Livestock Auction is having their calf sale. It's going on right now. Elk City's Livestock Weekly Auction will be tomorrow. Just stop by and tell Brandon I sent you. Say, hey, Jimmy Clark from Today in Ag sent me, and he might give you a free cup of coffee. I don't know that he will, but, hey, all you can do is rattle that off to him and say, Jimmy said you'd give me a free cup of coffee. Probably free anyway, but sounds good. Ain't right? Right. Well, hey, FYI for you also, I just seen it in the new freshly printed news of the Penny News. A week from this coming Saturday, February 5th, Hobart Stockyards will be having their sheep and goat sale. It'll be February 5th at noon. So you guys go get your goats ready, get the sheep ready, and go down there. I hear that's a good sale down there. I haven't heard anybody contradict that, but it's got to be a good sale. It's the only one going on in this area. So anyway, you got any questions, call down there to Hobart Stockyards. Talk to Rex, and I think they do that auction live, too. I mean, you don't even have to go down there if you don't want to, but I usually like to go see what I'm buying. So we'll go with that on that one real quick. Hey, I'll be right back after this. We'll talk about the new Penny News coming out. Got some data from the USDA and got some stuff from Cow-Calf Corner from OSU. So it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, January 24th. 2,334 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 417 brought 206, 62 at 587 brought 179, 22 at 675 brought 157.75, 36 at 922 brought 146.75, 28 at 946 brought 145.50, 63 head of heifers at 468 brought 175, 21 at 621 brought 151.75, 74 at 679 brought 146.75, 21 at 787 brought 140, 21 at 812 brought 140. Butcher cows were 35 to 79. Butcher bulls 65 to 98. Bred cows 855 to 900. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat. and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
29 degrees. Basically, the wind's out of the north, northeast. It's calm, 5 miles an hour. Wind chill is 23. Hope it warms up a little more. I got to meet the vet out here with some of my heifers here right after the show. Needs to warm up. It's going to be sloshy. I brought my rubber boots. I'll be good. So, I got a couple things I want to talk to you guys about before I get on to some of this information I have for you. There's a lot of bull sales and cattle sales, cow replacement sales and stuff going on in the next few months, and I'm going to help you keep up to date with some of them. Yesterday, I mentioned the Western Oklahoma bull sale at Cheyenne is going to be happening. Well, here's another one. Quartermaster Creek, spring bull sale. Wednesday, February 23rd. Get that on your calendar. 12:30 at the ranch in Leedy, selling 145 two-year-old bulls. So get that on your schedule. They got great cattle up there. I talked to Bert Hudson yesterday, and his sale was successful. It was very good. I don't remember what he told me on the average of the bulls, but it was good. And they sold some more private treaty after the sale. So anyway, everything was good there. And there's some more coming up. There's one in Texas, and I think it's pronounced right, Esteline, Texas. It's the wide body bull sale. 200 plus Angus bulls, 90 plus Charolais bulls, and 50 Angus bulls, Angus females will be selling there at the Bradley 3 Ranch, February 12th, 2022 at 12 noon. For more information on that one, go to Google Bradley 3, Bradley 3 Ranch.com, and you'll find that bull sale on there. That's a pretty good one. And then March 22nd, I'm just going to rattle these off about once a week, keep everybody fresh on it. They're North Clinton at Arapaho. Let me see here. Leslie and Jan, Harrison Cattle Company, will be having their production sale Tuesday, March 22nd, starting at noon. That'll be the bull and female sale there at the ranch, somewhere around Arapaho. I know where it is. I think it's north and east of Arapaho, if I remember right. But anyway, the address is on there. You can find out about most all these sales in the new penny news if you'll pick it up. So it was hot off the press this morning. Of course, you walk into southbound and everybody's fighting over the penny news getting in there. So it's kind of humorous to watch. So, well, here we go. I'm going to start another one, kind of like I started with the bulls yesterday. I'm reading this story. Listen to the story. But at the end, it tells you to get with your vet. I'm not telling you to stop deworming all your cows, to stop deworming all of them. I want you guys to listen to this story. So, Taylor, you and Joey, don't get mad at me when I read this, but it's kind of a makes sense. If beef cattle producers don't start changing the way they handle parasites in the herds now, they may risk the effectiveness of dewormers in the future. This is the message from Christine Navarre, Louisiana State Extension veterinarian. Speaking on dewormer resistance, she warned, "I don't see any new products in the pipeline. If we don't change what we've been doing back off to the sustainable long term. If we keep doing what we are doing, we're not going to have any products available for us. The goal, she explains, is to minimize short-term economic losses and health problems while being sustainable long-term. To do that requires a shift in the mindset from a deworming program to a parasite control program. She offers insight on how to make the switch. A parasite control program is about managing worm load in the herd. And for that, she relies on refugia. If I said that right, I hope I said that right. Refugia is the population of worms still susceptible to control, where dewormers still work. There are good worms to be in a population as they breed with resistant worms and dilute the overall worm population. Otherwise, she notes, if you deworm all the herd, there are only resistant worms breeding with resistant worms. Then we only get resistance. We need to protect some of the good worms without affecting the economics or the health of the herd. To do this, she says cattlemen should consider not treating older cows or a small percentage, 10 to 30% of young cattle, such as replacement heifers or stockers. She said the percentage should come from working with a veterinarian to conduct an on-farm diagnosis of worm load for the herd and determining how well the dewormers are working. This includes fetal sampling. Once we know how many not to treat, selection can be based either on weight, don't treat the heaviest animal, or random, don't treat the 10th animal coming through the chute, for example. As always, there are exceptions. Every animal should individually be assessed, but following are some of the general recommendations. Don't deworm all the cows. While a simpler approach, she says, is this group of cattle is not the most susceptible in the herd. Actually, the mindset may be compounding resistant worm populations in the herd. She says older cows can carry susceptible worms. These worms are needed in the population to dilute out the resistant strains. Plans to stop deworming adult females should only be done if other stressors are managed and well managed, especially nutrition and liver flukes, with fetal exam monitoring. The long-term goal is to select females that survive the parasite pressure on a given ranch. Make young cattle and bulls a target. She says cow-calf producers should develop a program for calves, replacement heifers, and bulls, as they are the most susceptible to these parasites. A program taken into account for leaving some stuff is still necessary. This may involve treating with two classes of dewormer at the same time, leaving a small percentage untreated. The specifics vary and should be based on a pasture management and diagnostic testing. Focus on the breed. Certain breeds such as Brahma and Brahma influenced cattle are thought to be more susceptible to certain worms. While these cattle may be resistant to external parasites, they do not have the same resilience to some internal parasites. So make deworming choices accordingly. Monitor the herd additions. Replacement cattle from other locations might bring in parasites, and cattle coming from western states or the very southern tip of Florida and Texas, where there is little parasite exposure, may not have time to develop age-related immunity. These cattle need to be monitored closely, and especially when they're brought to areas where parasites thrive. Get the vet involved. See, Joey, Dr. Mouse, I was coming back to you guys if you had just listened to the whole story instead of throwing stuff around in the working area saying, that dang Jimmy, the needs of each cattle operation are different. She says cattle producers should talk to their vet about their operation, including grazing management practices and diagnostics, to determine the best parasite control options for their herd. Bottom line is the targeted selective treatment approach. Focus on calves, young females, and bulls, and work towards selecting adult cows that fit the ranch environment, including parasite pressure. I know 2 or 3 years ago, Joey and them guys out there at Circle M was talking about, you know, every 2 years, if I remember right, I don't remember the conversation exactly, just every couple of years, there's two wormers out there right now, and just switch them out so they don't get immune to, like, ivermectin, switch it over to the other one, a couple of years, come back to ivermectin, and I think that works out pretty good for me, because that's what I do. I got two types of wormer, and that's how I do it. So anyway, there you go. That title caught me off guard when it said, stop deworming all your cows. But you got to read the whole story and see what they're talking about. It makes sense. So anyway, we got that going on. Let's see how the text line lit up with that one. Oh, here we go. My favorite. Sweetwater FFA Sheep and Goat Jackpot is this Saturday, and it starts at 9 a.m. There will be a breakfast and a lunch. For more information, call Corey Johnson at 580-497-7126. That'll be fun. It's going to be a beautiful day for it. Looks like almost 70 degrees Saturday with no wind. So that's going to, might still be a little sloppy from the snow, but it should dry out pretty fast. So that's going to be pretty fun. So anyway, yes, anybody not doing anything Saturday, go out there to their jackpot, everything for breakfast and lunch anyway. So anyway, we got that. Well, when I come back, let's go to the cow-calf corner. I got a deal for my Texas friends over on the other side of the border over here from the NRCS. Got to discuss with you. Be right back. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, how about that freezing fog this morning? Man, those trees were as white as the ground was. That was quite a deal. I was coming from Sayre going to check the heifers out there west of the Elk City dump, and 283 from Sayre to Four Corners was basically clear. The highway was. You turned, started going east on 152, it was a whole new ball game, or six highway, sorry, not 152. It was a whole different ball game. So I slowed her down, and visibility was closer you got to Elk, become to almost zero. So currently it is 29 degrees, wind chills 23, still light winds out of the northeast. Areas of freezing fog today, I guess. I hope that's gone. And then we got 21 for a low tonight. Tomorrow, sunny and 51. Tomorrow night, 24. 65 Saturday. 25 for a low Saturday night. Sunday, not so warm, but still nice, 59. And then Monday, back up to 62. I think, let me see if this long Ranger will extend out a little bit more. Next Tuesday, 59. Slight chance of rain coming in. But next Wednesday, next Nueno, when they start talking freezing rain, I don't like to hear that. So anyway, we'll get more into that when we get back from the weekend Monday and talk about that. All right, here we go. Here's from my friends across the state line over here in Texas. The USDA, NRCS are offering new EQIP conservation incentive contracts to support climate smart agriculture. This came out of Temple, Texas. The USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service, as we know it, NRCS in Texas, is announcing its first round of funding for a sign up for conservation incentive contracts, CIC, a new option available through the Environmental Quality Incentive Program, in other words, the EQIP program. The EQIP CIC expands resources benefits for Texas producers through incentive conservation practices such as wildlife management, cover crops, nutrient management, conservation crop rotations, and prescribed grazing. Additionally, the EQIP CIC allows producers to target priority resource concerning on their property by offering incentive payments for a five-year contract without needing to enroll in the entire operation, in the whole your whole operation into the program. EQIP CIC is designed to be a stepping stone between EQIP and the Conservation Stewardship Program to help producers improve their level of conservation and earn benefits of longer-term conservation enhancements. We have continued to support and expand the adoption of conservation approaches to support producers in their work to participate in climate smart, that's going to be the new word of the future, climate smart agriculture practices and build more resilient operations, according to the NRCS Texas State Conservation's Christy Oates. We are continually working to improve our programs to ensure we're giving Texas farmers and ranchers the best tools to conserve their natural resources. Texas NRCS will offer funding through two separate incentives. A Piney Woods Restore incentive is available for applicants in East Texas to help restore declining pine trees. Climate Smart Agriculture and Wildlife Initiative is available statewide. And then there's one more in there. Individuals interested in applying for the EQIP CIC, it's together, EQIP CIC, should contact their local NRCS conservationist as soon as possible. Be sure to check the status of your service center when you reach out to us. There you have it. That's for you people in Texas. This Oklahoma, farmers, don't light up their your local NRCS offices. This had nothing to do with you. This is for the other side of the Red River. So anyway, there you have that. Get rid of that. Let's go to Cal-Calf. Speaking, this is a great time to go over this. This is from Dana Zook, Oklahoma State University Extension Northwest Area Livestock Specialist here north of us. Cold weather nutrition for beef cows. Hey, it's snow on the ground. It's a great time to have this. Just before Christmas, I told my husband that I wish the weather was more characteristic of the season. Be careful what you wish for, he said. As you all know, winter came to us in a full force on January 1st with bitterly cold temperatures and a little moisture for some, not everybody. This recent weather brings to mind the extra nutrition required by cattle in cold weather. One can forget the February 2021 cold snap and the difficulties the cattle had maintaining body condition during that time. I noticed yesterday, for example, before I go on with this article, I can roll out a bale of hay every day over there for those 34 heifers and that one bull. And I come back the next day, and it's still got probably another half a day or about 12 hours of feed on the ground. I unrolled one yesterday, and I got there this morning, and that sucker was cleaned up. So when the weather's colder, snow's on the ground, snow's on them, and they're wet, they eat a lot more hay. There are many things that impact the ability of cattle to tolerate cold weather. Hair coat is the first aspect that makes a great deal of difference in cattle's ability to withstand cold temperatures. The amount of moisture and how wet the hair coat is also impacts cold tolerance. Rainfall, melting snow, or ice increases cold stress. Just like I said just a second ago. In addition, cattle in the lower body conditions, less than a BCS5, has less tolerance for cold. All cattle will need extra feed to maintain body condition and manage stress for the cold. But those needs may vary from one group to the next. So how much extra nutrition are we talking about? Well, the Mezzanet Cattle Comfort Advisor is an excellent tool for getting an idea on cold conditions and the impact that they have on cattle performance. According to the Mezzanet Cattle Comfort Advisor, a cow's energy requirement increases 1% for each degree the cattle comfort index is below 32. This energy need will double to 2% if the animal's wet to the skin. Let's look at the realistic example. At 1:30 p.m. on January 6th, the cattle comfort index was 11 degrees in Kingfisher, Oklahoma. As many will recall, this was a dry cold with no moisture. According to the increased energy requirements of 1%, no moisture, cattle will need an additional 21% energy to maintain body condition. 32 degrees minus 11 equals 21 degrees times 1%, and that's 21%. That's how they get that. So how much would producers need to feed to meet this increased requirement? A producer feeding 20% cattle cubes to gestating cows will need to provide an extra 3 to 4 pounds of cubes daily to maintain body condition. Cows' energy requirement is much higher, and therefore they will need an additional 4.5 to 5 pounds of 20% cubes daily. Increasing feeding allotments like this could cause some digestive upset if fed all at once. So it may be beneficial to increase feeding at a lower level before cold weather strikes and for a few days after the cold snap to recover some of that energy loss. Also, cows that are fed twice or three times per week may benefit from feeding more often to distribute higher feeding levels. High quality hay also can bridge the energy gap in these situations, but it is helpful to know that the hay quality, what the hay quality is and how much is being provided. So you can check out the Mezzanet Cattle Comfort Advisor to get an idea of increased feed needs. And speaking of the Mezzanet, next week sometime, I think either Thursday or Friday or maybe even sooner, I'm going to have a climatologist on from the Mezzanet here in Oklahoma. I'm stoked. I can't wait to get him on here. I got so many questions to ask him. And you guys think of something you'd like to ask him and text it in, but it's going to be cool. Mr. Paul Beck, he's been on this show twice now from OSU, has information on managing cattle during last year's extreme cold weather temperature on SunUp TV. It was February 13th of 2021 last year. He's got when you go up to SunUp TV on their website or on OSU's website and get that. And then Dr. Glenn Silk offers advice on adjusting supplements during winter weather events on a classic SunUp TV from March 6, 2018. So there are all kinds of good stuff on that OSU Extension website. So just get on there and check it out. You can check this and out if you didn't understand what I was talking about. But anyway, it's a good thing to talk because I noticed how much more hay my cattle ate from average to just being covered with snow yesterday, and it wasn't as bad up here as Elk City as it was down around the Willow and the Granite area, because I'm not kidding you, it was a total whiteout when I got down there, And the cows usually hear me, and I was honking at them and yelling at them, and I didn't even know where they was. And they were in front of me before I knew it, and they looked like Obama. They just looked like snowmans. I mean, all you could see was their eyes moving, and they were mad because my cow 1051, Mabel, she walked straight up to me, looks me in the face, and she says, "Where you been, boss? We've been waiting on you. You're late." So anyway, they were not happy with me. They shouldn't have been. I should have had the hay unrolled for them yesterday. But I've been trying to feed all my cattle in the evening. So I'll see if this scientific study of feeding the evening cows calf during the day. I've been doing it for 2 months now. And they're getting ready to start calving. I can't believe I didn't have any dang heifers over here at Elk City. I just knew they was going to pick the worst night. But they were all sitting there chewing their cud, chomping at the bit. I did learn one lesson. We have a solar pump out here at this place out here. And it's got a big water tank, thank goodness. But those floats, I call them the toilet bowl floats, working on those solar pumps. My opinion, they suck. And yesterday, as it was getting colder, I went over there and checked the ice yesterday morning on it. When I stopped by to check the heifers, everything was cool. Water table was up high. And I just did not look over there by that float. But there was a thin layer of ice around that float. Cows come up during the day yesterday drinking water. Water levels dropping in the tank. I don't even know if the sun, probably one of the main reasons is the solar pump probably didn't come on yesterday because it was cloudy. I know the one I have down at Willow from some pumps here in Elk City, now it comes on during the fog and it's awesome. But this one here doesn't come on when it's cloudy, and it's a big solar panel too, so I don't know what the issue is there. But there was an iceberg around that float stuck to the side of the horse tank. So the float, even if the water would have, the panel would have been working yesterday, the float was hung up in the closed position. It wasn't going to run no matter what, if we had sunshine or not every yesterday. So I'm not impressed with it. Sorry. I'm going to somehow here, when it warms back up this spring, I'm going to get me a drain in that tank and I'm going to run it down there and have it overflowing, running all the time. Just bottom line, I'm not dealing with this float crap unless somebody's got a trick out there that works for me that I don't know about. Let's see here. Oh, we got one guy that works for FedEx. He said he makes a run in Willow and the roads are bad in that area. So, yep. It's a cattle tank, Bobby. So anyway, yeah, I got somebody's attention on this deal. So anyway, I'm not a big fan of it yet unless somebody comes up with something that works. And I know a lot of you guys run these floats out there, but yesterday it was no bueno. So now I'm down about 8 inches of water in that tank with 35 head of cattle in there. And I broke the ice this morning before I left, and every one of them was headed towards her. Whether they drink 10 gallons or 20, I'm going to be down to a fourth of a tank by the time I get there today. So I'm not a happy camper. Also, guess what? Super Bowl's coming up here in a few weeks. Just FYI, if you're going to be the host of the party, you might start charging people to come to your party. Wings are up 14% to 26%. Hamburgers up 17%. Soda's up 14%. Pork, cheese, and chips are kind of even. Then we got beer. It's up 4%. So you might start thinking about having a cover charge at your Super Bowl party. Just FYI for you, in case you do care. And then what else we got here? Okay, last thing on the agenda. Ocean temperatures are hot. First of all, I'm going back to the text line. It's lighting up. Put a freeze miser on the float. What is a freeze miser? Never heard of that. I'm not stupid either, but I've never heard of the freeze miser on the float. I need to know what that is. Some systems have a sensor that hangs in the tank, contact with water, turns it on or off. I like mine quite a bit. Yeah, that's, I guess we need to figure out something different on the drink water. Haha, to be stupid. My wife's texting in now. Anyway, she's calling me stupid. See why I never want to come home? Because you think I'm stupid. Anyway, can you tell me what a Freezemeister is, please, sir? Meister? Anyway, I like to know what that is on the float. I want one. All right, let's go back to climate change. There we go. Ocean temperatures are hot. Last year was hot. It was so hot in 2021. Now holds the record for the hottest ocean temperatures ever. I disagree with science on that one. I'm pretty sure when the pilgrims landed over here on the East Coast back in the day, they didn't know what the temperature was in the ocean, so they don't know that. But that's according to the annual study published in Advances in Atmospheric Sciences. Earth's average land and ocean temperatures in 2021 was 1.51 degrees. And you're thinking, this is an ag show. Why are you talking about this? I'm talking to you about it because ocean temperatures dictate to us whether we're going to have an El Nino or La Nino. And we have a weak La Nina going on right now, and we're in a drought. We ain't seen any moisture till yesterday for almost 90 days. That's why I'm talking about this. And it says it's 1.51 degrees above the 20th century average, according to the officials at NASA. 2021 was the 45th consecutive year since 1977 in which global conditions ranked higher than the 20th century average per NOAA, providing yet another indication of the effects of climate change on the planet. High ocean heat content can contribute to sea level rise. Researchers blame human activity, of course, for the rising water temperatures because oceans absorb heat from the atmosphere. One more thing about this. The increase in carbon emissions will lead to more greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. And we had a gentleman text in yesterday or Tuesday while Lacey was on and said that the carbon is no different than it was 2,000 years ago. I don't remember what he said, a long time ago. And I agree with that gentleman in. There's always climate change, but what's causing it? Hey, the Earth's getting off its rotation a little bit is what I think it is, but I have no way to prove it because those guys in Washington that thinks the world's flat won't listen to me. So anyway, we'll have more of these almost act as a planet. Some of the solar radiation from the sun will get reflected back into space, but the radiation that makes it to the ground will then have to deal with the greenhouse gases on the way back out. Man, that text line is lit up. Let's see what we got. You know you're a redneck when you eat the tomato worm instead of the tomato because it's more filling than Colorado. Anyway, Sandy, no, you did. You did. You meant it, Sandy. So don't be calling in. Freeze Master goes on pressured systems, their temperature control, and spray a mist when temperatures drop below 32. Is that the one that they sell down at the co-op here in Elk City? Because all I got is a float. And when that float clicks down off that its system, the water comes on. It releases the deal to turn on the solar pump. So I'm being stupid here, I guess. Miser actually goes on a water line, I believe. Yeah, now we're going back. It's not a float. This thing looks like what you got to replace in your toilet all the time. And we got this. If you don't mind, the price it was $50 million. And then put a connection on float for Miser and float. Okay, I guess I'll have to check this out, and we'll go with that. Well, hey, show's over. Thanks for all your input on that. I might have learned something today. Hey, if you say put a Y connection on the float for the Miser and float, will you text me a picture of that? I'd appreciate it. Anyway, you guys have a great day. Hopefully my throat's better tomorrow. And I don't know what's going on. But anyway, we'll be back. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Have a great day. Keep your feet dry. And God bless.